Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. The one who died and is risen. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. My heart feels full. I'm excited to share this morning. I'm also trembling. It is an exciting time. It's exciting topics that we're talking about this morning. And yet, it's also a serious thing. What Christ did for us, his death and his resurrection, and my prayer is that what I say can glorify him and can help us understand what he has done for us better. And by the power of his Spirit and through prayer, I trust that God will accomplish that this morning. Thank you all for coming. It's good to see each one of you all here. Visitors, welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. So today is Easter and communion, and I'm excited about that because as we know, Easter is about the resurrection. Communion, we commemorate the sufferings of Christ, what he did for us. And in looking at both of those on the same day, we're looking at the complete gospel story, at the complete work of Christ, and I'm excited about that this morning. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We have here the first 8 verses. I want to read about the resurrection story. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples' word. So, to give you the context of this resurrection story here, imagine in your minds that you are in the place of the disciples. Okay, just try to go back in your mind to this time. You walked with Jesus for 3 years. You listened to him teach. You saw the miracles that he did. You believed in him. No, you didn't understand everything, but you believed his word. And I think at least some of his followers still thought at this time that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. He was going to come back and overthrow the Romans, free the Jews from Roman rule. And yet, here at this time, those very Jews that they thought he had come to free, those Jews had killed him. The leaders of the people had killed Jesus. And imagine in your mind, being in the disciples' shoes, your teacher, the one that you followed devoutly for 3 years, is laying dead in a tomb. Your world was built around him. This was my life. I was sold out to follow him. Now he's dead. What about, and imagine the questions that would come. What about the miracles that he did? What about the things that he said about himself? Was that all lies? Was he not who he said he was? Were the miracles that he did just fake acts? You can imagine the doubts, the questions, the darkness that was about the disciples there. And then you have the priests and the Jewish leaders, the ones who were crying for his death. And you can imagine them saying, yes, finally, this man who was a thorn in our side for so long, who kept fighting us, pushing against us, he is dead and done with. And Satan and the powers of darkness, you can imagine them rejoicing as well. The very Son of God, look what we did. We killed him. He's in the tomb. He's dead. A dark picture. And so thankful the story does not end there. And we will hear more about the sufferings of Christ a little later from Laverne. But I wanted us to get a picture of where things were, how things were here when we come to the first verse of chapter 28. And as we read the verses here in chapter 28, you see the power. There was a great earthquake. The angel who came down, his countenance was like lightning. His raiment white as snow. Fear of him, the keepers did shake, became as dead men. I don't think we can quite grasp the immensity of what happened here. The power, the shaking, the light, that Jesus rose from the grave. Death was conquered. And again, put yourself in the place of the disciples as they hear the report from the women who went to the tomb. Jesus isn't there. We met him on the road. He's risen. And imagine, okay, so it does say in the Gospels that they did not believe right at first. It took them some time to grasp, to believe it. But imagine when they did believe, the hope that started building up. You know, maybe not everything is lost. Maybe there is hope. Maybe Jesus is who he said he is. And maybe Satan had not won. Maybe God is still sovereign over all. The title of the message this morning is The Hope of the Resurrection. And in thinking about the title, you know, it's not that we hope that there was a resurrection or we hope that Jesus did rise from the dead. No, we know that he did. And through that, we have hope. We have hope here in this life of having our sins forgiven, hope of living victorious because of the resurrection. And we also have hope of, in the life to come, living with Jesus in heaven forever. The hope of the resurrection. So this morning, the message is divided in 3 points. First of all, I want to look back at what the Bible says about resurrection, mostly from the Old Testament, to kind of give us a picture of how the Jews in Jesus' time, what they were looking forward to when it comes to resurrection, and what they were expecting there. And then I want to look at the significance of Jesus' resurrection. And lastly, what does the resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, mean for us today? And we want to get practical there on that point. Some of these points kind of run together, so bear with me. Hope we can still get the message through this. And again, my goal for the message this morning is to remind us of how great and amazing, like we sang about in that second song, how wonderful God's plan of salvation is. To stir that up, to remind us of that, and also to give us a proper view of Jesus' resurrection, of what Jesus did for us, so that it can change our life, so that as we go out, people can see a difference in us. So let's look a little bit at what the people in Jesus' time, how they were looking at or thinking about resurrection and life after death. No, I didn't really know this until I started studying, but the concept of resurrection is not just a New Testament concept. It is something that a scripture-reading Jew would have been looking forward to as far as physical resurrection of those following God. And there's some verses about that in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12. I have several verses here. You don't have to turn to all those if you don't care to. Daniel 12, verse 2. This is Daniel at the end of his book, end of his writing. He's prophesying, and he says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So we have there the teaching of resurrection of the dead. Job chapter 19. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Notice, "in my flesh shall I see God." So again, the picture of a bodily resurrection after death. So my point in bringing this out is the Jews in Jesus' time, they understood that there was life after death. They understood that someday my body will defy death and rise again. But the question was there, how would that happen? How would death be conquered? How would death be overcome? And it was never, it's not super clear in the Old Testament, but there is some verses that give a glimmer of hope. In Psalms 16, verse 10, David writes, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And Peter quoted this verse in the first sermon at Pentecost. He quoted it as a prophecy of Jesus, what Jesus would do. And then towards the end of the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, chapter 13, God is prophesying through the prophet Hosea, and he says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes." And again, we have that hope that one day death would be conquered. Death would be overcome. And I think also if you look at the interpretation of the word grave there, it would have the meaning of hell. So think sin, death. That there's coming a time when this will be overcome, when God will be victorious over death and sin. And again, Old Testament Jews reading the scriptures, or the Jews in Jesus' time reading the scriptures, could catch these glimpses of hope one day. And for many years, that promise was unfulfilled. And then we come to the New Testament, the time of Jesus. And I want to look here at the significance of the resurrection, my second main point. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Jesus' life before his death and resurrection, but there was one time when Jesus was talking to Martha. This is right before he raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. You can turn there, John chapter 11. Verse 23. Just going to break in here in this conversation. Lazarus had died. Jesus and his disciples had come to Bethany, and he was having this conversation with Martha. And he says in verse 23, "Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." There we have the belief in the resurrection. In verse 25, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So there we have a clear proclamation from Jesus that I am this promise. I am the resurrection. I am the one that will overcome death. And there's other times in the Gospels where he told his disciples, "I will rise again on the third day." There was an instance with the Pharisees where he said, you can destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it back up. So Jesus taught that he was the resurrection. He was the one that would overcome death. And again, imagine, and I know most people did not fully believe this until after his death, but imagine the hope that that sparked in the lives of these people. The one to conquer death is here. I can, because of him, I can have freedom from death, freedom from sin. And that hope is still alive for us today. So again, we're looking at the significance of the resurrection here and several points. Why is the resurrection significant? Why is it important? And maybe that sounds like a silly question, but I want to dig into this a little bit to help us understand the importance of the resurrection. It's something we know so well. We know it. We've been taught it from little up. And I don't think sometimes that we fully grasp what it means that Jesus rose from the dead. What it means that we can serve a risen Savior. This is a living hope. So I want to look into this a little bit. Why is the resurrection important? And we saw this in the previous point. It was a fulfilling of the Scriptures. So again, like I said, we had the different promises from through the prophets that one day death would be vanquished. One day there would be a deliverer. And Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the fulfillment of those prophecies. The resurrection also completes the salvation story, the plan of salvation. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. So death is a result of sin. It's a consequence of sin. Therefore, for sin to be completely overcome, for Satan to be vanquished, death also had to be overcome. And yes, Christ's blood had to be shed. He had to suffer and die, but it could not stop there. Death, too, had to be conquered in order for the plan of salvation to be completed. The resurrection also proves that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, other religions have their prophets, their teachers who lived, they taught, and they died. And that was the end. You have Islam has the prophet Muhammad. The Mormons have Joseph Smith. And yeah, these men were great teachers, and they started religions. But death came for them too, and that was the end of them. Only God could overcome death. And Jesus rose from the dead, overcoming it, conquering it. You know, this thing of death, we all know where death started back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, when God gave the command for Adam and Eve to, this is one tree you cannot eat of, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will die. And we all know the story well, how man disobeyed, sinned, ate of the tree, and then death came. That relationship between man and God was broken. And the punishment for that, the consequence of sin was death. But even there, God gave them a remedy, the promise of a remedy for sin. In Genesis 3, 14 and 15, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So yeah, death was a consequence of sin, but God had a plan for a remedy. Jesus was that plan to overcome death and sin. The resurrection also gives us hope of life beyond the grave, beyond death. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Verses 19 through 23, 1 Corinthians 15. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Verse 20, Christ has become the first fruits of them that slept. Basically, Christ broke the bonds of death. He made a way for us so that when we die, believing in him, we too can rise from the dead. We can have that same power and do not need to be held down by death. Because of Christ's resurrection, we have hope beyond the grave. All right, so getting a little more practical, what does the resurrection mean for us today? You know, it's like I said earlier, it's something that we all are very familiar with. We know the stories. We can quote scripture about it. We understand why Jesus died for us. But I know for myself, too often I don't just stop and think what it means that Christ rose from the dead and what all that does for me. First of all, it means we can have power over sin. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 13. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now, we read the resurrection story at the beginning there, and the power that was there to bring Christ from death out of the grave. And that same power, according to these verses that we read, the Spirit of God that brought Christ from the grave, Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, dwells in you. Stop and think about that a little bit. In Jesus rising from the dead, he overcame sin. He conquered Satan. He defeated sin and death. So those of us who are believers in Christ, who are following him, we have the Spirit of Christ living in us. And so that means that we can be victorious. that we can live above sin through the power of Christ. You know, we are living in the flesh, but I think that we use that too often as an excuse. You know, it takes effort to fight against sin. And it's easy, I know for me, it's easy to use the excuse, well, I'm just human. You know, I messed up, but that's my flesh. But if we have the Spirit of God living in us, we have the power there. We don't have we can't use that as an excuse for living in sin. And yes, temptations are strong. The pull of the devil is strong. But look what our Savior did. He conquered death. He overcame the devil and his works. And we have that power in us. As Spirit-filled Christians today, we have that power available to us. I think for myself, the problem often is I try too hard on my own strength. I want me to overcome. I have this list of things that I can do to be victorious. And that doesn't work. Jesus didn't rise from the grave on his own strength. He rose from the grave on God's strength, the Spirit. Same way with us today. We can only be victorious through the strength of the Spirit, through the strength of God dwelling in us. And this, something I want us to grasp is our King has already overcome Satan. The battle is won. We can live victoriously. And when you're in temptation, when you're being faced with Satan bringing things at you, remember that we have the power, we have the Spirit. We can cry out to God, we can rebuke the devil. God's strength is greater. The power of the Spirit is greater. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Also, because of the resurrection, we do not need to fear death. First Corinthians 15 again. This chapter is loaded with truth about the resurrection and what it means for us. And in the last part of the chapter, verses 54 down there, it says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And yeah, we don't like the thought of dying. We don't like the thought of loved ones dying. And it's hard. It's hard when people that we love die, and we no longer have them with us. But through the power of Christ, we have hope beyond the grave. We have hope beyond death. And we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear what lies beyond after we die. And again, because Christ did that for us, because Christ conquered death, I know I keep saying that, but I think it's vital. Christ overcame death, therefore we no longer need to fear death. We don't need to fear what is beyond. And also, because of the resurrection, we have a living hope. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Yesterday I took a walk in our woods, and the ground is covered in brown leaves. The trees are brown. And yet, this time of year, there's green starting to come up through the leaves. There's a plant here, a plant there, a group of plants here. There's leaves coming through the brown, dead-looking branches on the trees. There's evidence of new life there. And these verses in 1 Peter begotten us again into a lively hope. We have, through Christ, we have that life. It's not a dead hope. We don't serve a dead God. We have a living God, a living hope. And what is that doing in your life? Are you walking around looking like you serve a dead God? Or is there a living hope in you that is coming out? And we've been studying Acts in Sunday school, and the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, the early church, the resurrection was such a key focus of their preaching, of their lives. And that life, that new life, that hope was so evident in them and what they said and how they lived. And I think that's what God wants for us today. As children of Him, as children of, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a Jesus who has overcome that. He's given us life. He's overcome death, overcome sin. Am I showing that to the people that I interact with? What message am I telling them? Am I excited about the resurrection? Am I excited about the work of Christ? We have an exciting message to share. A last verse in conclusion, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again, we are not living for or serving a dead God. We have a living hope. Our work is not in vain. Because of what Jesus did for us, no matter what happens to us, no matter where He calls us to serve, our faithfulness to Him is not in vain. It's not empty. And again, we have hope through the resurrection of Christ. We have hope in this life, and we have hope after the grave, after we die. So, again, I know the resurrection is not the whole story, and maybe we're hearing the story a little bit backwards this time, but I think Laverne will be sharing more about the sufferings of Christ, what He did for us, and I'm looking forward to that. But I hope that this inspired us to, as we go into life, to remember what Christ did for us, remember what the resurrection means, the hope that is in the resurrection, and to let that affect your daily life and affect how you interact with the people around you. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We're so grateful, God, grateful for the plan of salvation, for the work of Jesus. Thank you, God, that He rose from the dead. Death and sin could not hold Him. And thank you especially that we, through the power of the Spirit, have that same power and that same victory over death, and that we can walk in a relationship with you. And I pray, God, that we could all be faithful to you and that we could live our lives in such a way that we have hope beyond this life. When we come to the end of our lives, that we can be with you forever. Thank you, God, for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.